Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Peace. Good afternoon, and welcome to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio. This is your host, Audrey Scott Williams, and today is Friday, August 19th, and I am excited about our show today because we get to answer a question that is often asked of us, and that question is, do you know if you're making an impact anywhere? How do you know that you're making a difference when we walk? And so I want to introduce to our listening audience, no stranger, she's been on before, Mama Sister Sonia, are you there with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our Houston family.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes. We've been missing y'all since you've been gone, so we got to get another fix for y'all in Atlanta on 11-11-11.
That's right. We want to see you down there. You know you got to walk in with us.
Oh, well, listen,
Sister Mama Sonia, I want to ask you a question. Did the walk make a difference when it came to Houston? You know, we get asked that question over and over again, and I know that you have initiated an endeavor there towards the end of the school year last year that's going to be starting up again very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Was the walk influential in that at all, and how?
Yes, it definitely was. Because of the violence that we were seeing in our schools, the threats of violence in our schools, we decided that we needed to walk. And it all came out of, you know, having walked with you all and spent all that wonderful time with you all, that we just need to learn how to walk through our communities for our children. So what we decided to do was, there was a real big threat of violence at the first weekend of May, and our children were afraid. They were saying, Mama, come take us home and everything. So we decided to have we call it a prayer walk for peace, where we symbolically walk around one school continuously praying for our children. They will have peace in school. But it happened at the end of last year. But the school's about to start on Monday. We're having another one on Sunday, walking around that school. But it all came out of having walks with the peace walkers. In fact, when we walked through the neighborhood that Sunday, that was, you know, that's still resonating. People are still talking about it.
Wow.
You know, when we walked through from Shape Center to the museum, back to Shape Center, people are still talking about that walk. Oh, yeah, I saw y'all walking through. So, yeah, y'all made a tremendous impact on us in Houston.
Well, what I want to say, Mama Sister Sonia, is we want to really join with you on Sunday, August 21st, to uplift our communities, to end or stop the violence in our schools and in our communities.
Yes,
so what we're going to do in support of you, we're going to send out your flyer today to get it out to our mailing list and ask communities around the country to walk with you on that day. And if they can't walk with you on that day, then what we're going to ask them to do is to hold the energy for peace and nonviolence in the communities from 3 to 4 in solidarity with you, Three Sisters in Spirit, there in Houston.
Yeah.
And because we have found, Sister Mama Sonia, everywhere we've been, that there is a tremendous increase in violence in our communities.
Yes.
And there are all kinds of reasons we can look at, but the bottom line is we are not powerless anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what we want to shift that consciousness. We are not powerless. We do have the power to change, and you're certainly exemplifying that. So do you want to give specific information about Sunday so we can share it with everyone?
Sure. Symbolically, we're walking around Jack Yates High School. That was my high school. It was my daughter's. And as we walk around that high school, we are symbolically walking around every single school in the state, in Houston, in Texas, in the nation, around the world, praying for our children that they will have a peaceful year. And peaceful, we just don't mean violence. We mean peaceful just in their spirits, peaceful when they go to class, peaceful in doing what they need to do. You know, we look at peace holistically. It's peace is more than just not fighting. So as we walk around that school, what we're doing is we're just calling out the names of, you know, well, unfortunately, we had two young men from our school who were shot this summer. One was killed. And he is going to, his parents are going to be there. Of course, we're going to do a balloon release in his honor. But we also just want our children, when they go to school this year, they can walk down those halls, walk around the campus, to and from school, feeling safe. So we're it'll be from 3 to 4. Jack in high school. We're just asking people, even if you can't walk. Now, you know, it's 100 and what? The heat index is going to be about 115. So we're asking a lot here.
Yeah.
Got plenty of water, though. But we're asking people, even if you can't walk, stop where you are between 3 to 4 and just pray, call on the Creator, call on God, call on Jesus to help our children.
All right, that's what we're going to do. And for those of you who will be in your cars driving from 3 to 4, tap that horn 3 times. And that
way we'll have a wonderful time. Yes.
Yeah, just tap that horn 3 times, and we'll know that you're doing that in solidarity with our walk.
Yes.
Maybe everyone around the country around 3 o'clock, whatever time zone you're in, just tap your horn 3 times in solidarity
for our
prayer walk for peace. It's the beginning of the school year for children all over the country, and we want to see our children safe, and we want to, as you say, peace is not just, you know, an adjective or an adverb. Peace is the verb. It is the action.
That's right. That's right. The action.
So thank you, Sister Mama Sonia, for coming on.
Thank you so much. And tell all my family I said hello, I love them, and I'm looking forward to listening to the rest of the show.
All right, you take care, and we'll be back with you in Houston one day, but certainly we'll be with you as we all walk together, hand in hand, into Atlanta on 11-11-11.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Peace and blessings to you.
Thank you. Thank you, and give our love to the Houston family.
I certainly will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. My next guests will be Doug and Devi, and I'm so excited about them being on our program today because we're talking about the Walk for Values USA 2011 that's going to take place in Washington, D.C. It's going to happen on September the 4th, and you've just heard one of our communities that we've walked through and the impact that the Walk has had. Walking is powerful medicine. I cannot express that enough because when you walk through a community, you're automatically connected to what you see, to the people you meet, and to the very earth that your feet tread upon. Welcome to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio. Do I have Doug and Divi with me?
Yes, we're here.
All right, so let's talk about, welcome to Peace Talks, first of all. I'm so excited about having you on the show. I apologize for last week. We had to cancel our show and postpone it to this week. We were in the city of Newark, and it just so happens the city council had a program for us right at the time that we normally do our show. But here we are. And we know that you have been working quite diligently around the country for the as you begin to host the 2011 Walk for Values in Washington, D.C. on September 4th. So let's start. What is the 2011 Walk for Values? How did it come about? And what are your expectations as we gather on September 4th?
Sure. Well, thank you very much, Audrey, for having us on the program. I just want to – Doug, are you on? Okay.
I think we're. Are we missing Doug? Okay. As soon as he comes on, we'll get him right into the show.
Sure. So yeah. So Walk for Values USA. Let me talk a little bit about how it began. You know, I was listening to Sister Mama Sonia talking about the violence in Houston and you know the schools there, and it seems like that has been the common thread. You know, behind all of these walks and all of these efforts for peace. And so, you know, similarly to Houston's experience, the first walk that started in Canada, in Toronto, in 2002 was really a result of, you know, the city's response to a violent event that took place in Malvern. There was, you know, some shooting, this little kid got killed, and they decided that they wanted to do something. So the Seth Yasai School of Toronto, which is a Seth Yasai school, it's inspired by the teachings of Seth Yasai Baba, who lives in India. So the school, the parents, the teachers, the children, they decided they wanted to do something to, you know, help the community. And they realized that they needed to focus on character building and encouraging role models in the community as a result of or as a response to combating, you know, the challenges that they were facing. So the first Walk for Values took place in Canada. They've been having Walk for Values in Canada ever since 2002. Right now, it's very exciting because they have, you know, thousands of people who participate every year. It's one of the biggest, you know, walks in Canada that takes place every year. And also, you know, they were able to inspire other people to join in the effort. So apart from here, us here in the U.S., they also have walks taking place in Australia, in Hong Kong, in Malaysia, in New Zealand. So, you know, to answer your question, are we making a difference? You know, why do we do this? The fact that all of these countries have embraced, you know, an event like Walk for Values, which walks for peace, so walk for love, for truth, for nonviolence, you know, that itself says something. So that's how the walk started. And I'll talk a little bit more as we go along about some of the, you know, other inspirations behind the walk, but the common thread, it seems, is really what our children are facing in society today, and, you know, how do we, you know, how do we help them to cope, and how do we make a difference? And
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I was looking at is I want to just stress again that the values that you walk for are love, nonviolence, peace, right conduct, and truth. And, you know, those values are so important as we lift them up, not only as a way of being with one another in our communities, but a way of elevating our entire way of life to a higher level of consciousness that allows us to make better choices, more humane choices, for our communities, not just here in this country, but around the world. Having walked around the world, one of the things that I find is that those basic human values are shared at a people's level, at a community's level or family's level around the world. It's something we can all embrace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I remember not so long ago, it seems, that President Obama, on his inauguration speech, you know, stood right there on the steps, and he talked about the importance of values in our lives and in our country, and the fact that this country was built on those basic human values. And so, you know, we sometimes forget that, you know, how important it is. I'll share an experience with you that just happened to me this morning on the subway in New York. I was on my way to work, and there was this gentleman who was sitting across from me. He had a suitcase. I had seen him before, so when I saw him, I recognized him, and I knew that, you know, he looked perhaps that he was homeless or close to being homeless because he had the same suitcase with him. And as we kept going, he started to he's dumb, so he couldn't really speak, but he was motioning to everyone sitting around him for a donation, for, you know, some money. And he had just a nickel that he was holding up to kind of convey his message that he needs money. Now, in New York, we see this every day, every train ride, and we've become so immune to it that, you know, the need of someone else does not, you know, their needs don't really affect us the way they should because we see it so often. And he's sitting there and no one is paying any attention to him. And, you know, I was also sitting and I'm looking and he's desperately trying. He cannot communicate, you know, like most of the other panhandlers is to say, you know, I'm hungry, you know, I need food. So he was just using sign language. And people were just completely ignoring him. And eventually he became very angry and he pulled out the book of Genesis and he started, in what I could tell in sign language, he started cursing us. And he was basically, you know, showing the gestures of, you know, that will go to hell because he's hungry, he desperately needs something to eat, and no one is helping him. And I sat there, and what occurred to me was, wow, where have we come in society that, you know, someone who is so desperately hungry and is looking for an act of kindness, and no one is paying attention. A simple act of kindness. And, you know, it's sad. It broke my heart. Mm-hmm. And he obviously needed the help. And I kept wondering what's going through in his mind that, you know, here are these people sitting here all around him. They all look, you know, nicely dressed. They're going to work. And he needs food, just one meal perhaps for just now. And no one is doing anything to help. And that breaks your heart that, you know, that we've forgotten what that, you know, what it means to reach out to another human being and just to help in just one moment. And that, you know, small moment.
You know, what we say on the walk is every person that reaches out, it's a call to action. Every single person that reaches out is reaching out, and we have an opportunity to step into a partnership with that person by responding to a call for action. And so that would certainly, in our sense, be a call for action. And sometimes, you know, people say to us, oh, you know, why are you giving to that person? They're only going to go get a drink, or they're going to do this. Well, you know, we don't know that.
Right,
you know,
correct.
We don't know that. That's a story that I think we've put forward that keeps us from having to respond to a call to action. But, and you know, when we walk close to communities, what we find, and I'm glad you use that as an example because it brings up one that we had not too long ago, and I think it ties all of this together. We were in a community and in Lansing, Michigan, and we were Mariana's one of the elders in that community that really holds the community and has chosen to stay there to be a help. And we planted a peace pole in her backyard. Well, when we got into the community that afternoon, we parked near her house right there in the church parking lot. And we stayed overnight, and we got to talk to some of the young people. And then the next day, they were all invited to come and be a part of a peace pole planting. And as each person had an opportunity to share something, which is, you know, the way we do our peace pole planting, one young lady said to us, she said, you know, and she said this tearfully, you know, she said, we really respect the fact that you came here and you're planting this peace pole, and that when you arrived yesterday, you know, you put out chairs and we all had a chance to sit and talk, because you stayed overnight in our community, and most people won't even drive through our community, won't even drive through our streets.
Wow.
And what, yeah, and we've heard that. I mean, I wish we could say that's the only time we've had someone say something like that. I wish I could say that. But again, the call to action in our communities where we are turning a blind eye to communities that are in need. And the sad but true thing is in our country now that the growing number of people who have joined the list of poverty, that have slipped from middle income to low middle income to poverty, is increasing. And so what we might see in one community is something we might have turned our head towards. You know, it could be a few months from now that we're in that same situation. So every action, every opportunity that we have to embrace one another is a call to action. Are we going to answer the call? I think, Makua, I know you're listening perhaps at our break. Play, if our song, The Rainbow, is on there, where you actually say, you know, who's going to pick it up? Who's going to pick up the line that's being, we're all being called up on now to step into action? But I wanted to say that because I connected with your story in the same way. You know, people want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want to know that they matter. And as Dr. Martin Luther King used to say, you know, this whole concept of mutuality, we're bound. You know, the quality of life for all people in the long term is bound by our understanding of our mutuality, or the fact that our relationships, that's the true gold in the world.
Very true, very true. And also, the fact that, you know, we're all, you know, we have one common humanity. And, you know, there's one thread that runs through all of us. And if we cannot respond to, you know, someone else's, cry for help, then what are we doing? And, you know, the Walk for Values is really, it's not all about, you know, asking, you know, other people to do something. It's a commitment that each of us as participants in this, you know, in this walk, that we have to be that example. We have to take that step to make a difference. So for instance, you know, sitting there on the train, I realized that, you know, I had to make a difference. If I didn't respond to his need, then I'm no different from every other person sitting there who's ignoring him. And so, you know, it's a call for all of us, each of us as individuals, you know, starting with me, starting with, you know, with myself, to really make a difference. And so, you know, part of what the Walk for Values is that each participant is encouraged to select a value that they will practice. So, you know, for truth, there are so many, aspects of truth. You know, there's conviction, there's discrimination, there's faithfulness, you know, being good, being honest, integrity, you know, all of these things. And, you know, love, how basic is love? You know, just being compassionate, considerate, you know, being affectionate. These are all the things that we can do every single day, every moment, if we pay attention to it and you know, we consciously make an effort. And so that's what, you know, what we're hoping, that, you know, Walk for Values, that every participant, if there's, you know, 500, 600, even 300 people, or even if there's 10 people, but if each one is committed and dedicated towards practicing, you know, selecting just one value that they will practice, then, you know, that's our hope and you know, goal, that it will make a difference. And it's, you know, it's individual transformation.
Well, let's bring Doug on. I know that Doug has been waiting. Doug, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, welcome to Peace Talks. We've been talking about the walk and getting all inspired together. And what a great moment to bring you into the conversation.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. So
what we find is it's all about character development. And that is what the Sathya Sai organization is about, is selfless service and character development. In fact, if I may, there's a quote by Sathya Sai Baba that says, "If there is righteousness in the heart, there is beauty in character. When there is beauty in character, there is harmony in the home. When there is harmony in the home, there is order in the nation. When there is order in the nation, there is peace in the world." And that's what we find, that it needs to start with us and character development, developing these values of love, right action, peace, nonviolence, truth, all of this. And we see that it works.
Absolutely. What really inspired me as I read through what the Walk for Values was all about initially was your encouragement, and we were just talking about that, to the encouragement for each person to choose just one value and make a commitment to practice that in their lives. And turning each one into an action, you know, putting love into action, putting nonviolence into action, putting peace into action, and right conduct and truth and integrity. And, you know, as we walk, what we find, it's a powerful way of being in that space. Let's say if I choose love, being in the space of love and transforming love into action, which means that everyone I see is embraced in love. Every place I am is embraced in love. And something magical happens through that process. We've certainly seen it on the walk.
Yes, in developing forbearance, so that we don't let what others do bother us, but that we grow above that and rise above that and instead use love and compassion with everyone we meet, everyone we see, including ourselves. And that's very important, too. Sometimes we get down on ourselves too much.
Yeah. Well, let me clarify something for our listeners. The walk is not a fundraiser, nor a protest rally, nor a demonstration. You want to talk about that for a moment?
Sure. Debbie, do you want to cover that?
Sure. Yes, that is correct, Audrey. It's not a fundraiser or a protest or a demonstration. It really is, we like to call it, a celebration of human values. It's a community coming together in brotherhood, in, you know, togetherness, and showing the young generation that there is hope, that, you know, as a community, that, you know, if we stick together, that there is, you know, there is nothing that we cannot overcome, any challenges. Which brings me to one of the other inspirations, at least, behind the Walk for Values here in the U.S. There is a wonderful group of kids. They have a program called Renaissance EMS, or Renaissance of Education, Music, and Sports Program. This is a program that was started by a young man by the name of Bervin Harris. And Bervin Harris started this program in Harlem, in the South Bronx, for those who are familiar with New York. And he started it in Harlem, in the Bronx, because of the need in that community, the violence, the, drugs, young teenage mothers, all of these challenges. And he wanted to give back. He wanted to do something for that community. So he and another colleague started this program, and what they do is that they, encourage all of the kids in that neighborhood to come and to be there, to play games together, to sing together, and really have a community. And, I had the opportunity of listening to them perform one of their music programs, and I fell in love with them right away. But what stayed with me and what impressed me most about them was that they performed a song called Care For Me. And Care For Me was really a plea to the community to look out for the children. To, if you see a young child walking in the street, going home from school, know that that child is scared because every single day, children are getting killed by just wild bullets. And so the song was basically saying to the community to create an awareness that we need your help, that we are suffering, we have challenges. It's not even, the luxury of just practicing kindness or, one of these values that, we take for granted that we practice whenever we feel like. These are kids who are facing a situation, matter of life and death. And so they performed the song, and when I listened to the song, I was really touched by it. And so when we had the first walk that took place in New York, I invited them to come and be a part of it, and I asked them to sing that song. And it was just an amazing experience to listen to what they face every single day and what how they're responding and what they're doing about the needs, about the challenges that they're facing in their community.
Right. As they say, a child shall lead us. We have someone on the line with a question. Michael Ware. Mike, are you there? Did we lose Michael?
Emma?
Hi, Mike. This is my son, Michael Ware. Mike?
Hey, how we doing?
Good. Welcome to Peace Talk.
Good, good. I was just in the background listening to the conversation.
Okay. Well, Michael's been doing a lot of work himself as a young leader in the community there in Baltimore, Washington. And, Mike, we're just lifting up all the young people, McCour and everybody, as this work now comes to a place where we've got to take that. We've got to respond to that call for action in whatever way our heart speaks to us. So thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, I think, you know, from the moment that you got me involved, I guess since we were born, in this whole process, I've always wrestled with that question in myself is, what is that action? And I heard a lot of the guests talk about starting with yourself. I think we all need to take a real look at what that really, really means, because on one end, you have the outward action that you allow yourself to do on a day-to-day basis. But what do our choices really mean in terms of the effect that it has on the planet, the effect that it has on a lot of these nation powers out here and the decisions that they make? You know, there's a lot of talk about Afghanistan and moving in there and doing that and really sitting back and say, well, why? You know, one of the biggest natural resources of lithium, one of the biggest byproducts in batteries now. So you say, let's go green, and then, you know, we have this push on alternative energies and really knowing and doing researches about what our actions, you know, what's the ending result of our actions and our choices that we sometimes choose blindly because we feel or think that it may be the right decision, but really nailing down and drilling down into the decisions that we are making, even though we think they're good, you know, doing a little research on what it is and, you know, living simpler and, you know, the whole nine. So that's a question I wrestle with myself as well. You know, what is that action? How do we take the next step? You know, what is the next step? So.
Certainly. This is Doug. If you look at the five values, there is nonviolence, and part of nonviolence and peace is compassion. And that means compassion not only to people, but to this planet too, to all the animals, the birds, the trees, everything. And we're lacking that compassion. And that's what we need to, that's one of the reasons why we need to develop character and values. But if we don't start with ourselves, how can we change the world? How can we change our leaders? What we need to do is change ourselves and our children, raise our children to be compassionate, to adopt the values of love, truth, right action, peace, and nonviolence, so that as they grow up and become, work in the political world, become leaders of companies, they will build in those values into everything they do. Right now, there is a dearth. There's a real lack of values among leaders. But if we don't start with ourselves and those that we can influence, it will never happen. And this walk is a small part of trying to make that happen.
You know, Doug, as you were talking, and Michael with the question, thanks for bringing that question up, because we were in a dialogue, Doug and Michael, with a community. We were actually in Williamsport, and a friend of mine who's Oneida, Grandmother Dorothy Minham, Michael, whom you know, and the conversation was around, in this particular area of Pennsylvania, it was discovered that it has one of the largest depositories of natural gas. And so all of a sudden there are trucks coming in from all over. You know, Hal Burton and others have now really come in and are tapping this gas for sale and distribution elsewhere. But it's having a tremendous impact on a community very, very fast. And so Dorothy was there from the Oneida Reservation in Wisconsin, and we were having this discussion, and then she stops and she says, you know, quite passionately, she says, you know, you're talking about whether the environmental impact of this, but I bet you if you were on Pine Ridge Reservation and you asked the people there, the Native Americans there, do you want to be cold or do you want to preserve, you know, the natural gas? And she said most of them will tell you that they want to be warm. I think I said that right, warm. They want to be warm because every winter so many people die just from freezing to death on a reservation that the poverty and what's happening there, they're faced with genocide every day. So what that made me aware of, Doug and Michael, and how important in this conversation it is that we begin to hear each other's stories, because I might be going down the road for right action, and it is the right thing. I know it is. And at the same time, there's a community that's plagued with something else that if I don't listen to them, I may be making assumptions. And I realized in that conversation, it really hit me, that sometimes we discuss the issues from a standpoint of privilege. Because when I'm privileged, I have more choices. When I am suffering, I have very little choices. So what love and compassion and peace do in terms of leading to right conduct is to tap us in at a very basic heart level so that we can hear each other, that we can see each other and recognize in each other the values that will make a difference. And as you said, Doug, that our leaders then will be infused with this wisdom that comes out of love and compassion for people, for Mother Earth, for all things, because none of us are free until all of us are free. But we have to look inside, tap into that space, and then rise to what gets called forward, because it's going to be different for every person. We're going to take a break here. You're listening to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio. Makua, why don't you give us a song, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk specifically about Washington, D.C. Let's get clear on the times, locations, and everything. Give us some contact websites. We're going to put that out on the air, and we'll continue the conversation. Again, you're listening to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio.
Dynamic of harmonizing good. Allow it to flow through your soul because inside it will make you whole. I'm talking about you being you. Because no one else can set you free but you.
I'm putting gas in my car. I'm thinking about the war in Iraq. The air we breathe in is toxic and there's way more than that. The situation's international. Matter of fact, it's intergalactic. But don't make me get into that. Don't see how some be sleeping on the streets while others they be living a life that's so sweet. I envision a world where everyone's needs will meet. Living off the earth in harmony and peace. The only reason some still be packing heat is cause their lives is so incomplete. We were all born perfect with everything we need to be free. Yet something happened, man. We stopped believing all we could be. Let's remember we're a part of nature. Expressing love is what we're made for. Deep in your heart, the answer's not far. Let's come together now and play our part. It's all like what you see. And the pain's just too much to believe. See, I can feel it calling me. I'ma be the change. It's all in me. One world in harmony. One world, one family. I ain't waiting on nobody. Cause I'ma be the change. It's all hurricanes, tsunamis, wars, and famines. Between religions, misunderstandings. Many different people with the same passions. Just disconnected from our cause and our actions. It's time we recognize the law of attraction. And see, we receiving exactly what we asking. Am I focused on lack and limitations? Fear and separation. And I'm open to a new conversation. I'm talking about the love vibration. When everybody wants unification. A change is moving across the nation. Yeah, we choose courage and real communication. It's cause we know there's no time for wasting. The state of this world is our creation. Let's take a good look around this place. Yo, turn off your TV now, it's time to face this reality. Yo, this is the real show. The human race, we've been so disgraceful. We say we want peace, yet we're so wasteful. Killing all the life on earth to take up space for what? Yeah, we all want the same thing. But more stuff, happiness that won't bring. Yeah, we all know that we get what we give. Time's up now, how we gonna live? If you don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe, say I can feel it calling me. I'ma be the change, it's all in me.
the bomb that will set you free. I know what I'm talking about.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be.
Welcome back to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio. We are talking about Walk for Values USA 2011 in Washington, D.C. on September 4th. Now, let's make sure our listening audience has a sense of what the day will be like and the times, and let's get a contact number that and the website so that our listening audience can stay plugged in and come out and be a part of this incredible Walk for Values. Doug, Debbie?
Sure. I'll go ahead and give the website, and Doug, if you can talk a little bit more about the program, that would be great.
Please.
So the website for we're inviting, the walk is free. It's open to everyone, and we would love for you all to come out and join us on September 4th. You can register at www.walkforvaluesusa.org. So again, it's www.walkforvaluesusa.org. And Doug, if you can go ahead and tell a little bit more about the program.
Sure. We do ask people to register. You can register online at the website that Davey just gave the URL for. Our day will begin at 9 o'clock with on-site check-in. And if you do, for those that want to walk in, that's fine too. But we do ask that you come a little bit early so we can get you registered. The actual program starts at 10 with the National Anthem. And then we'll have a talk, a very short talk by our Grand Marshal, who is an expert on developing education in human values. We'll then be organizing the walkers into the groups, distributing the signs. We'll have wonderful signs and banners that have quotes from famous people on values, such as Martin Luther King, Sai Baba, Albert Einstein, and so forth. Then at 10:30, we will have stretching and warm-up exercises. Prior to the walk, we have a yoga teacher that's going to be helping us with that. It's always a lot of fun. And then at 10:30, we're actually going to start the walk. And the walk will proceed around the National Monument. We'll be able to see the Lincoln Memorial, the White House, and then it'll proceed down the Mall toward the Capitol Building, cross over the Mall, and return to the Washington Monument. And that'll be completed approximately around noon. After that, we are looking forward to an absolutely wonderful talk by Audrey Scott Williams. And that will be followed by a music program by Three Generations. And Three Generations is a Black Native American group that dances and sings Native American music. And we're very much looking forward to that. Their music is just very inspiring. Then we'll have some concluding words by a official. And it should all be over at about 1 o'clock. So we definitely look forward to seeing you. As Davey mentioned, it is free. We will have some snacks available for the walkers and, of course, lots of water. This is Washington, D.C., September 4th, so the weather we're hoping will be beautiful. It can be quite warm or it can be cool, so you would want to dress accordingly.
Okay, so Debbie and Doug, I have a question for you. If people are not able to register online, can they just show up, or do you want everybody registered online? Because I know there'll be some people who may want to just show up or may make their decision at the last minute. Can they join?
Absolutely. They can just come on the day. Of course, they have to come between 9 and 10 before the walk begins, and we will have on-site registration.
Okay, great. So we want to encourage people in the Washington, D.C. area and beyond to join us in Washington, D.C. on Sunday, September 4th. Pre-registration 9 to 10, or I should say registration 9 to 10. And then from about 10:30, we're going to get into some stretching, and then we're going to start our walk. And what better place to walk than around the mall in Washington, D.C., and through the Capitol building, so that we're putting out that intention for us connecting to the values that will make a difference in our country and beyond. Should I give the number that you can call if you want more information? I have a number here.
Please.
Okay. 301-972-3650 is a number that I have here, or 718-848-6056. Is there another number, or will those numbers get?
The second number is my number. So, again, it's Davey, and it's 718-848-6056. And the first number you gave is Doug. So between Doug and I, hopefully we'll be able to answer all of the questions. So come on out, everyone. Bring a friend, bring a neighbor, bring a family member, and, you know, we will have fun and celebrate human values.
And I do want to say that we will be meeting at the Washington Monument. At the base, there is a little stage called the Sylvan Theater, and that's where we'll be meeting, and we look forward to seeing all of you.
Okay, so everyone get out there by 9 at the Sylvan Theater there at the base of the Washington Monument. Get registered, and let's have a beautiful walk for values. And also, as you're considering doing this walk and as you begin to engage in the process, really think about the value that represents you exactly where you are: love, compassion, peace, nonviolence, integrity, right conduct, truth. Which one calls to you? And, of course, any one of those calls all of the rest of the values forward in truth. But and what might be an action, how you put that value in action over the course of the year to come. So thank you so much for being with us, Doug and Devi, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday, September 4th. We, the 13 Moonwalk for Peace, will definitely be there, and I look forward to having an opportunity to speak at this a very important gathering for all of us right now in this country. Thank you so much for being on Peace Talks.
Thank you, Audrey. Thank you so much.
Audrey.
Yes.
All right. Have a good day now. I'd like to take a few moments. Here we are getting close to the end of our show today, to just give you an update on the 13 Moonwalk for Peace. We have indeed gone coast to coast now. We were in New York City this week. Prior to that, we were in Newark. And I tell you, Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and Newark, New Jersey treated us so beautifully. We looked at each other and had to pinch ourselves because we walked right into communities that were open. They had planned activities, and we got to get so deeply involved in the community and doing the work that we love so that we really felt empowered. And then in Harlem yesterday, day before yesterday, we had an opportunity to walk through Harlem, and I mean walk through Harlem with Dave carried the peace pole on his shoulder, and we walked with Queen Mother. We started in honor of Marcus Garvey Day, and we met with the community there, all the elders, and had an opportunity to have a blessing of the pole and all that we're doing by the elders. And then we walked with Queen Mother through Harlem, carrying the peace pole, and Mama Natalie was leading the back, leading us as we went forward, and then ended up at City College, where the peace pole will be planted on the International Day of Peace. And so it was a very exciting walk for us. And I also wanted to just give thanks to Queen Mother, Dr. Dolores Blakely, for taking time to see the connection between the values that we hold and the values she holds for her community, and embracing and walking with us through Harlem. I also wanted to let you know and remind you that you can go to our websites and keep those letters going to our dear brother, Leonard Peltier, who's in prison. We want to keep him uplifted and motivated. After 36 years, he still sits in a prison cell in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, for a murder he did not commit. during the 70s on the Ogallala Sioux Reservation. So we want to lift him up by sending him letters. And everything you need to know is on the 13, Moonwalk, number 4, peace.com website, 13moonwalkforpeace.com website. And you can also go to my website, www.AudriScottWilliams.com, and get the information there as well. So let's keep our brother Leonard lifted up. Leonard Peltier did a painting of Mother Natalie that is now available as a Leonard Peltier print, and it's available. We'll be having it with us as we move through communities. So if you're interested, we'll have that up on our storefront on the website very shortly. Beautifully done. I encourage everyone to have one of those. And he's never seen Mama Natalie, but he connected with her energy. And then when you see the poster, you will know, or this beautiful painting that we are now selling as a beautiful poster, you will be amazed that someone that's never seen her face to face captured her spirit so beautifully. So I want to thank my sister, Dorothy Minham, for being that person who showed up to love and put that to action and connected a photograph of Mom, brought that to Leonard, and he painted this beautiful, beautiful portrait. So that's it for our show today. I'd like you to tune in next week. We're going to be talking with two members of our walk, the 13 Moon Walk for Peace, Dave DeFabo and Mary Margaret Woods, who have an organization called Heal Thyself. And we're going to be looking at natural ways that we can deal with illnesses in the body, that we can just create a different consciousness of our relationship to being healthy and what we consume and how we live. So next week we're dedicating to Heal Thyself. Thank you for listening to Peace Talks on Life Conversations Radio. I want to thank Makua for standing in there on the boards for us, keeping the show going. And let's go out with some beautiful music to uplift and guide us forward as we go this week. And we'll be back here again next Friday at 12 noon, and we'll be talking with Dave and Mary, their organization, Heal Thyself. Thanks again for listening to Peace Talks.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.